Hello there, and welcome to the recording for Sunday, the 29th of August. Gosh, the month has gone by, isn't it? I hope all those that have been doing summer schools have enjoyed it. This is for children in Ignite. So you will continue to hear recordings from myself. Jacob, who is our new youth pastor, will be starting to do the recordings for the children in the way. So I hope everybody enjoys that. Also, another date for diaries, a couple of dates for diaries. Saturday the 4th of August, of September, we're going to have a play date for children in Ignite, from those from reception to year 6. And you can come to King George Park and join us for a fun day out. Parents have to book in, so they need to send me an email to let me know if they're interested in coming. That would be really great. On the 5th of September, in the morning service at church, we are going to have the graduation ceremony for all the children that have moved up in their classes in church. And it'll be really great to see you all there. It should be a lot of fun. And what else? Also on the 5th of September, we're going to have a youth evening service at 6 p.m. It's the first service, the first evening service we've had for quite a while in church. But also, Jacob is going to be preaching to the youth for the first time, and it'll be really great to see you there for that as well. Right, so we're going to go through our normal thing of trying to work out what country I am thinking about. This one is quite strange. It's really, really weird. It's got 10 letters and only one vowel. So good luck to everyone. So for 5 points, it's a country in Eastern Asia, in Central Asia, and it's landlocked. That means it's got countries all around it. For 4 points, it has borders with Kazakhstan in the north, Uzbekistan in the west, Tajikistan in the south, and China in the east. For 3 points, it used to be ruled by the Soviet Union. For 2 points, its name means 40, and its flag features 40 sun rays. And for 1 point, its capital city is called Bishkek. Good luck with that. Did you guess that the country I am talking about is called Kazakhstan? Oh, I love it. It's such a beautiful name when you look at it as well, because it's really, really complicated to spell. It is also called the Kazakh Republic. And other interesting facts about it: 36% of people live in urban areas. That means in the city built up areas, whereas in England 83% of people live in urban areas. So most people in Kazakhstan like to live in the country. It has the second largest lake, and you might remember from a couple of weeks ago, Lake Titicaca in Peru is the largest lake in the world. Okay, so that's that. Now we're going to go on to the miracle that we're looking at today, which is the miracle of when Jesus opened the eyes of a blind man. Okay, so if we look at the Bible reading, it is in, let me just have a look, Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 22. So if you have your Bibles, do go to it, Mark chapter 8, verse 22. So we'll just change the version of the Bible so that it's a nice, easy one to understand. And where are we? Mark chapter 8, verse 22. There we go. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Do not even go into the village." I really like this one. I really like this miracle because it has some things that are slightly unusual, slightly a little bit strange, really. Again, when we looked at a blind man's miracle before, I'm asking the same questions. What are we blind to? What are the things that are just in front of us and maybe we just don't see them? And sometimes there are things that you choose not to see. And then when something happens, for example, when something happens, then you start to see them. I'm thinking of a time maybe if you go to a friend's house and they do something slightly different to your family and you sort of like think, "Oh, hello, that's a bit strange. That's a bit different. We don't do things like that." And because you are always doing whatever you do, whatever practice it is, maybe it's sitting at the table to eat, maybe it's eating together, or maybe it's not taking food upstairs, maybe it's taking your shoes off as you enter the house. People do all sorts of things differently, but we are blind to it sometimes. And because we're so used to it, we just don't see it. But sometimes we choose not to see things. An example could be if something bad was going on at school or at home and you just sort of pretend that everything is okay, which is all right for a time, but there does come a time when you have to face facts. You have to face up to what is going on and you have to be realistic and think, this actually might need sorting out. So in this case of this miracle, people saw that this man was blind. And maybe they had seen this for a long time and they just didn't know what to do about it. And then suddenly, when Jesus was there, they had a solution. And so they saw the problem and they knew the solution. And so they did something about it. Sometimes we see a problem and we might see a solution, but we don't actually do anything about it. Like sometimes telling the teacher is very important. If you see a problem, then if you tell the teacher, then things will get sorted out. Anyway, but they brought this man to Jesus and they begged Jesus to touch him because, you know, that's what they knew. They had seen that when Jesus touched people, something great happened. And so they were telling Jesus how to perform the miracle, which sometimes we do that with our problems. When we take a problem to God, then we say, "Do this for me in this way." And it doesn't always work like that. We can't tell God how to do the miracle, how to make a difference in our life. We have to let him decide how he's going to do it. Because I think if Jesus had touched him, I don't think anything would have happened. I think, you know, it needed to be done in a certain way. And then we see here that I did want to ask you, have you ever had the solution? Have you ever known what to do to help someone else? And if you did you share it? Because sometimes we might know the solution, but we don't actually tell that other person what the solution is. So we have to be ready to know the solution and to tell that person how to get the miracle or the change in their life. Now, Jesus took the blind man and led him outside the village. I don't really know why he led him outside the village. It might have been to stay away from prying eyes, to stay away from nosy people that were just interested in seeing what Jesus did, or people that maybe knew this man and knew what he was like, and they maybe would have said or done something to stop the miracle happening. So if Jesus had performed this miracle, people might have been saying, oh, do you know what Jesus is doing to you? Do you know what he's actually doing? You know, and that wouldn't have helped the man at all. The man needed to just have Jesus do what Jesus knew to do without any interference. And I think that's one of the reasons Jesus took him away from everyone else. Because it really is interesting to me. I think, so then he took him by the hand and led him away. And then, Jesus did something really completely different. And the blind man could see. So sometimes we have to have blind faith. We have to have faith that's willing to step out there and let unusual things happen to us. I mean, the way Jesus healed this man was something we would have never thought of before. And we have to ask ourselves that are we prepared to let Jesus do anything to get the miracle we need? Are we prepared to give ourselves over to him completely and to let him do the unusual, unexpected thing that will make a change in our lives? And sometimes we're not. Sometimes we want to put the brakes on it. We want to say, no, Jesus, do it this way. Do it the way we are expecting it. Do it the way. And Jesus doesn't work like that. We have to be ready to completely surrender everything to him. And I love how, like, after the first time that Jesus did this, spit on his hands, spit on this man's face, and, you know, then nothing happened. Well, it's not that nothing happened. There was an improvement. The man could see better than before. He could see people, but they looked like trees. And I don't know why that is. Is it that the man didn't have enough faith? Or did he not know what to look for? It was like the miracle was half done. So I was thinking that, do we sort of stop at half done miracles and are happy with that? Do we sort of think, oh, well, at least it's better than before, and then go away again? But Jesus wasn't satisfied with that. He wasn't satisfied with half measures. He wasn't satisfied with things being almost right. He wanted them to be perfect. So we shouldn't be satisfied with half measures. We should stay there and give God a chance to complete the work in us, to do the full proper thing that we came for. And so Jesus does this again. And then suddenly, yes, the man can see, and he can see perfectly. And then he does something really, and again, rather unusual. He says to him, don't go back into the village, like as you're going home. Don't go through the village. I do wonder why that is. If the man had gone back through the village, is it because in the village they knew him? They knew of his problems. They knew of his trouble. They had seen that he didn't have much of a future. Would those people have caused doubt to come into the man's face? Or would they have made a big fuss of him? What was Jesus trying to protect this man from? Not to go back to people that knew he was blind. Not to go back to people who had seen his mistakes, his shortcomings. So, like, sometimes if you do something, people sort of write headline news about it. And if you stay in that place, or if you go back to that place, that's all they'll remember you for. They won't allow you to make progress. They won't allow you to move on, to be different. So I think Jesus in here, he wanted this man to go a different route so that he would have a fighting chance. He would have a chance to, for a new start, a chance for really just things to be different and for that to be accepted. And also, I don't know whether if he had gone in the village, they would have celebrated him and celebrated this man and what had happened to him and forgotten to give the glory and the praise to God. So sometimes we need to be careful to go the way God has told us to go. And not to sort of go back just the way we came because it's easier, because we know that way or whatever. We must be prepared to do things the way God says to do them immediately. So, yeah, I hope that you've enjoyed looking at this. I really did like this miracle. Thought it was quite unusual in a lot of ways. There was a memory verse from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, when we looked at Jesus feeding the 5,000, the 4,000 people. And you know, I hope that you remember it. I'm just having a quick look. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." I hope you remember that, and I hope that you you stay blessed and enjoy your weekend. God bless you, and I hope to see you next Saturday, next Sunday, next Saturday for the play date, and next Sunday for the graduation service and for the youth service in the evening. Bye.